Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and special than the rest of us. In one word, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. Back in September, I told you this is not goodbye, but rather see you soon. Soon has arrived. Welcome to episode 108, Pro Lives Matter, the return from hiatus episode. I want to thank all the new listeners that have listened to and downloaded past episodes after posting promos for the podcast on Parler, which has now gone full amateur, just like Twitter, with the censoring and cancel culture, and that's why I left. I have, however, just signed up on Gab as of yesterday, so feel free to reach out. Gab.com/Lou Santini, Lousantini. As for all the other socialism, communism, mainstream media, keep it coming, amateurs. You only embolden us pros. And as always, fans first, if I may single out a new fan of the show, a special shout out to Jessica Thoman in Franklin, Tennessee. She says she's also reading my book, too. And speaking of which, please take a few moments to download a copy of my book on your e-reader. You can download it from Amazon, you know, the company that is basically running everyone else out of business. That sucks. That just sucks. I have to use, I have to reference the Sideshow Bob episode from The Simpsons when he tries to destroy television. And he says, yes, I'm aware of the irony of using television to decry it. But here I am. You can download it on Amazon. I did reduce it for pandemic pricing. I said I would reduce it from, $9.99 down to $4.99 until all of the shutdowns were over 100%, at least to my knowledge anyway, and they're not, which is stupid. So you can download it for $4.99. It's called Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills, the second edition. I know you're going to laugh out loud, and it's just chock full of common sense. And if you're a pro like I am and the other listeners of this show, it's right up your alley. Please email me if you have questions, comments, criticisms, hate, love, I don't care. Talk to me like a human being. Lou@LouSantini.com. And now, like I said, you can find me on Gab. Let's get to it. Topic number one. Sometimes on this show, I have a little preamble to the day's topics. However, since the show has been on hiatus for 5 months, the first topic is simply my recap of most things amateur since episode 107 in September of 2020. You just hate saying it, don't you? It sucks. You don't even like to say the word 2020. Worst year ever. Am I wrong? I mean, maybe not for you personally, maybe not for some. Some people are like, I actually didn't do too bad. I mean, there were some bright points of my personal life and personally in 2020, but overall, for America especially, let alone the world, 2020 fucking sucked. Where to begin? You know what? There is no, why bother trying to do it in chronological order or a linear version of it? I'm just going to call it like I saw it. Where to begin? Cancel culture in full force, unparalleled censorship and bias on social media like Twitter and Farcebook and especially mainstream media. And it continues as I speak. Amateurs arguing all the time, hey, they're private businesses. They have a right, said the people whose posts aren't being taken down and viewpoints aren't being blocked and accounts aren't being deleted and accounts blocked and canceled. So I guess that means restaurants and bars across the nation can and should open. Yes, they're private businesses. Oh, that's right, unless it's about public safety. I heard someone the other day say, oh, well, you know what? Most restaurants and bars are open now anyway. Yeah, after 10 months. At what percentage of capacity after hanging on by a thread? Shameful, said the non-small business owner that doesn't rely on foot traffic and word of mouth. It's their right, which was the argument of Facebook and Twitter when anytime someone posted something that the fact checkers, which could be the misnomer of the decade. And if you have a job as a fact checker, aka career ruiner, aka censor, aka Nazi, and I use that term exactly right, anytime someone posted something the fact checkers didn't like, had it classified as hate speech. And about hate speech, amateurs love throwing that term around because it's so strong, unwielding, determined. Let me just say this. Teasing someone or a group of people is not hate speech. Jokes about someone or a group of people are not hate speech. Even tasteless jokes, dirty jokes, or inappropriate and politically incorrect jokes about people or groups of people are not hate speech. Satire and parody is not hate speech. Differences in opinion is not hate speech. Hate speech is when you say the words, I hate blank. Toughen up, amateur nation, and fuck your feelings. Hate speech to amateurs is lazy. It's their go-to. It covers everything for them. That way they don't have to explain everything. They could just label it hate speech and wow, because it's under this veil of a very strong four-letter word like hate, well, you can't argue with something that is labeled hate because someone said it's hateful. You don't like the color blue? Hate speech. Hypothetical, here's one for you. Hey, would you like super sandwich? You know what? I think I'll have the soup. You hate sandwiches! And I'm not exaggerating. That is the amateur mindset at work, and I use the word mind loosely. The last episode I did was near the end of September of last year, and it seems like a decade of amateur nation nonsense has happened, even though it's been 5 months. For me, personally, I had enough of Commifornia with the shutdowns, or should I say the arbitrary non-science-based illegal shutdowns that crippled the entertainment industry. From the entertainers like me who had auditions and performances all but vaporized, theme parks in Los Angeles are now desolate, the restaurant and bar industry is decimated, the pollution, the filth, the smell of urine and human feces everywhere. I'm on the penthouse level of my old apartment there, top floor, and I would go out in the balcony and smell human urine from a street that is 500 feet away. This is why the show went on hiatus. I left after 24 years. I still get texts from friends still stuck there showing screenshots of these reports, that neighborhood reports that show that there were gunshots as close as a block from my old residence. Considering I never saw or heard anything like that in the 24 years prior. And don't forget the amateur wielding a sword within a quarter mile where I lived, threatening people. This is a job for social workers! The three dumbest words ever put together could be defund the police. See, Minnesota. Police cut. Social workers called in. Cops quit. Crime skyrockets. And now, new recruits wanted in Minnesota. Good luck with that, amateurs. You get what you fucking get. And by the way, I'm still on Commifornia. The encampment fires caused by the homeless, i.e. the mentally ill and drug-addled Antifa rioters and BLM morons who were paid pittances to trash the city and then abandoned by their political party. Go on Instagram. Follow Street People of Los Angeles. Your head's going to explode. These are not isolated incidences. I saw them every day, and that's why I left, and it's only gotten worse. Oh, sure, there are indeed homeless in California, but the last time I checked, the homeless don't have Winnebagos, tents, computers, bikes, and in many cases, cars, all in the same homeless camp. Yes, I know some homeless sleep in their cars, and of course, let the amateur virtue signalers come calling, he hates the homeless! Yeah, that's what I said. No, that's what you heard. Plus the early released hardened criminals released so they don't catch COVID. Yeah, I'm really worried about rapists and murderers and serial killers catching the flu. Hey, this dog has rabies. We better let it loose so it doesn't bite us here. Let it bite other people that are not here. That's what they did. You got illegal aliens storming the castle of California, while its own pro-tax-paying, law-abiding citizens struggle to survive with shutdowns and job loss, all while fearing for their safety. Rapes, murders, shootings, robbery, all skyrocketing in California. For the first time in 24 years when I lived in Los Angeles, I did not feel safe simply walking to my car from the grocery store. I kept looking over my shoulder. I'd hear a weird noise. Freaking out. 400,000 people homeless in California. Well, 400,000 people hanging around outside in front of taxpaying businesses and private residences in California. While the governor, Emperor Gruesome, goes to a winery during the mask mandates and shutdowns. Oh, don't worry, he got caught. Oh, wait, nothing happened to him despite him sitting next to his health director. Amateurs looked the other way when he gave a smirking, half-assed apology. The shutdowns are still going on to some degree all around the country, except in places where the virus numbers have dropped and businesses are doing better. So let the businesses drown while Amazon and Walmart destroy the American dream of the small business owner. Let illegals come in with disease, crime, and a drain on our medical establishments. In the words of a personal amateur that I know, here's what he said. You know, I don't care. Just don't hurt me or my kid. That sums it up when it comes to amateurs. Very nicely, doesn't it? The amateur mindset. I'll virtue signal. I'll censor. I'll defend censorship. I'll scream at you for not wearing a mask. I'll block and demand what I think is right for you. But just don't hurt me and my kid. What humanitarianism. What tolerance. What equality? What unity? What phony bullshit? Remember that time you almost got coronavirus, but you made it home by 9:59? And then, later on, 11 o'clock? Well, now, here in my home state of Ohio, where I currently live, the curfew is lifted. Why did we never get a real answer about why there is a curfew when it comes to the virus? A real, logical, science-based answer. You know why. The people I feel for the most during 2020 and up to now are, first and foremost, police and first responders. You thought that job was hard physically, mentally, and emotionally and didn't pay what it's worth before? Now? But running a close second is bar and restaurant owners. The callousness of amateurs saying things that I've heard on the radio out here in Ohio. Well, you know, I don't understand what the big deal is. So these restaurants, all they have to do is just do takeout only. What's the big deal? You know, there. I had plenty of restaurants, my favorite restaurants. I have 10 favorite restaurants in Los Angeles. 7 are out of business. Some of them been in business for about 5 years, some as long as 20. Family run, independent run restaurants. Sickening. But some of these restaurants that, when I was there, that were still open, the food just wasn't as good on takeout. You know why? Because it's meant to be eaten in their restaurant. Yes, there are certain foods that by definition don't translate well to takeout or carry out, or by the time you get it home, you're like, ugh, what a mess. Fast food being one of them. You got like a 5-minute window to eat fast food, and then it's just a big plate of lukewarm styrofoam. It's awful. But I'm talking about non-fast food. I'm not going to name names of restaurants or types of food. I don't want to ruin any careers here. I'm just saying some of these restaurants, I'm like, you know what? I'm still going to get takeout and I'm going to get it home or have it delivered. It just wasn't as good. Yeah, you know why? One, maybe because it wasn't packed well and they're not used to doing takeout. But two, the other thing is there's something to be said about atmosphere. Going to your favorite restaurant, talking to the owner, your favorite server, you know, the surroundings themselves, and sitting across from someone else that you might like. Or a group of people. Going to a restaurant isn't just about, I need food, must get protein. No. You go to a restaurant because you want to do something that you can't do at home. Fast food's for when you don't have time or you're exhausted or feeling lazy. I get it. That's fine. But when you go to a restaurant, you know, you want to spend some time there with people you know and love. Meet new friends. Maybe meet a guy or a girl. You know, flirt with somebody. Be seen. Get out of the house. Change up your surroundings. Why am I explaining this? Well, all you have to do is just do takeout, then their problem is solved, said the amateur who's never owned a restaurant or a bar. Ever heard of overhead? Staff requirements needed to run even a small restaurant? Profit margins? By the way, not all restaurants are the same. What if you have a huge restaurant that's independently owned that seats 300 people? Not the same as a guy who has a pizza shop, who has a few tables in there in case someone wants to eat inside and can really do take out and carry out. Idiots. Restaurants and bars are not in business to break even or stay afloat. Here's how this has gone, at least in California. All right, here it is, step by step. Everyone, eat inside, but less people. All right, now everyone outside. Right, nope, less people. Now, eat inside a tent that is outside. All right, you know what? Everyone back inside. 25% capacity. Now, thrive, you fuckers. Sidebar, I've mentioned often on this show, one of my biggest things that makes me furious is laziness and stupidity combined. Next to that would be being condescending towards me. Back in April, when I was mentioning these sentiments about California, and calling it Commifornia, my California friends were acting shocked with the tone of, really? This was April of last year. They're like, really? Commifornia? I called it early, and I was right. I was right. Dude, no, you're not. This isn't like communist China. Not yet, it ain't. That's how it starts. You think communism happens overnight? All right, everybody, we were a democracy. Now we're communist. Assimilate. Is that how it works, you idiots? Now, almost a year later, they're so stubborn and in denial and blind and deaf. He hates the blind and deaf, said the amateurs. They won't even admit they were wrong, that they were used, that they were lied to, that they were manipulated, and for nothing but control. Short-term for the election and long-term for communism. They literally will die from stupidity. Not of it, from it. Not of COVID, from COVID. That's the difference. They're going to die from stupidity in the form of bankruptcy, some kind of health issue, or some other preventable reason. These are not even principles that they have. This is just emotion that they had. They will die of herd. They will die from herd mentality. And you know what? No sympathy. Us pros, we're done. We tried. We put up with your shit for 15 years since the advent of social media. Us pros haven't got any sympathy for amateurs. Oh, but what about tolerance? No, no, no. You're the one who preached tolerance. Us pros have been practicing it all our lives, especially the last 15 years, putting up with your nonsense on social media, with your censoring and your I'm offended and your safe spaces. And you're throwing up your arms screaming hate speech. We have been practicing tolerance all our lives. You have been screaming, literally, tolerance for the last 10 to 15 years, especially the last 2 years. We pros tolerated you amateurs for over a decade with your feelings, your political correctness, your butthurt sensitivity, your need for safe spaces, your it's never enough attitude, your give me free stuff, your America is horrible, constant temper tantrums, and you've weakened the country. We cannot abide and tolerate the people that ruin the only true free country on the planet. Back to restaurants and bars. You customers, wear a mask to your table, but once you're there, breathe deep. That's the good air. As a great meme that I saw read, I say we close Walmart, Costco, and other big names so that all the small businesses have a turn at making money. How do you argue with that? Why is that not fair? If Amazon, Walmart, and Costco, and Target could shut down for 1 week, and people would have to rely on small businesses, oh my God, you know what a shot in the arm that would be? And it wouldn't hurt any of those other businesses. They could literally close their doors for a fucking year, and it wouldn't put a dent in their profits. How do you argue with that? Amateurs don't argue with it. You know why? Because they think their silence means strength and conviction. They don't have an argument as to why it's okay for large businesses to stay open and not small businesses. They don't have an argument as to why it's okay to go into to Lowe's or Home Depot, but you can't go get your hair or nails done. Same amount of people in the dentist office as there is in a nail salon. What's the problem? Well, you don't need to get your nails done. Well, technically, unless you're bleeding out of a face, you don't need to go to the dentist. You don't need to do anything except stand still and breathe and maybe drink water and take a bite of some bland food to stay alive. You got a problem with it? Email me. I'm right here. I don't block anybody. I'll read your email on the show. I'll leave out your name as long as you tell me to. Don't be a coward. I'm not. Lou@lousantini.com. I genuinely want to know, amateurs, if you give me a solid, science-based reason, I'll happily admit I'm wrong. Admitting you're wrong shows maturity, growth, intelligence, and best of all, you can move on. You're not beholden to whatever myth, misinformation, or dumb actions that were holding you back. Why was it okay for some businesses to be open and others not? Oh, the non-essential thing. Got it, Animal Farm. Non-essential. Talk about that. Let's recap from back in 2020 when I was doing this show. Pay your taxes? Do you contribute to the gross national product? Guess what? You're essential. What else you got, amateurs? So the U.S. is like a group of people living in a bunker, let's say. All right, we'd only have enough room in this bunker for a few people. Who gets to live and stay here and eat? All right, the doctor. We need a doctor. And the Amazon delivery guy and the mailman. Oh, we definitely need the politician, the cook, but not the waiter. Certainly not the entertainer. We have to kill the rest of you. As I noted from another Common Sense post that I read, quote, the virus can travel 6 feet. It cannot travel 6 feet one or greater. It can live on all surfaces except anything that comes in the mail from Amazon. It does not live in Target, Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, or any grocery store. It's harmless in protests, riots, and looting. It is only deadly in bars, restaurants, small businesses, hair salons. It cannot live on your food as long as you get it to go. I actually had a friend of mine say, and I quote, if everyone just would wear their mask all the time for even one day, we could have avoided all this. 8 billion people plus on the planet. There's a small chink in your armor there, buddy. Red alert, he said chink. Yeah, but he didn't mean it in armor. That's what it's called. I don't care. I heard something weird. I don't have time to process and reason, said the amateur. Anyway, I will never qualify my thoughts on masks and the coronavirus again after I say this, after I have posted a million funny memes or sarcastic comments about the arbitrariness and the illogical shutdowns, the stupidity of the shutdowns, the stupidity of social distancing and mask wearing. People, I'm going to say this one last goddamn time, and that's it. The virus is real. It is not a death sentence. It is not a guaranteed death sentence any more than the flu. It's more serious for some who should be protected and quarantined. You quarantine the sick, not the healthy. And you certainly don't quarantine the healthy with the sick. See California. The coronavirus was manufactured. It came from China. China runs and owns the World Health Organization and CDC. We have evidence today that the numbers are exaggerated and falsified. Mainstream media won't ever let you see it, and amateurs who only follow mainstream media won't admit it if the head of the WHO and the CDC called them directly at home. Because then they wouldn't have their story. My uncle had it and died, so the whole world has to shut down. It's serious. Yeah, it's serious. So is cancer and car crashes and texting and driving. And the regular flu, and pneumonia, and Down syndrome. Do I have to do this list again? I got one word for you, amateurs. Florida. They seem to be crushing it. More people than the state of New York. More seniors than anywhere else. 2 weeks to flatten the curve. No one needs to wear a mask. Okay, wear one. Now it's wear two masks. Maybe three masks. You can be three times the amateur living in fear. Think of the virtue signaling. You only have two masks on, murderer, super spreader. Thanks to 10 to 15 years of conditioning by social media, being slaves to our phones and technology, we want everything done for us. We want everything delivered. Everything done from home. Our nation leads the world in diabetes, heart disease, and obesity, all major players in surviving the virus. You don't think that the Chinese, when they invented this virus and released it upon the world, that they didn't think for a second, oh, it's going to kick America's ass. It makes perfect sense that amateurs finally have a little power in thinking that they can bark orders and call out people who don't live in their fear-based world. And don't forget to get that vaccine for the thing that has a 99.7 plus cure rate. Why the TV and mainstream media has to report things like, oh, the starting pitcher for the Dubuque sellouts has COVID. Yeah, he probably won't die. He's a professional athlete in the prime of his youth, in prime shape. It's not a guaranteed death sentence. Worry more about cancer, stroke, obesity, diabetes, car crashes, texting and driving, drunk driving, smoking, depression, which is rampant now, thanks government, opioids, and amateurs who are texting and drunk driving while on opioids. I would say 10 years from now, you'll hear commercials that say, if you took the COVID vaccine between 2020 and 21, you might be entitled to compensation. But Big Pharma has stated that you can't sue them if it goes south. Sounds legit! Only two shots are needed for a 94% cure rate, despite my body having a 99% cure rate. And by the way, they say it doesn't mean you still won't get it. Oh, by the way, during hiatus, there was an election. He said, using finger quotes, I always prided myself on this show not being political, but rather staying the course of common sense, which is how I try, don't always succeed, but I try to live my life. And I still won't tell you how to vote or even why. Not my job. You're an adult. Figure it out. Use your brain. Because the last time I checked, this is still America, kinda. Which also means I also have the right, per the Constitution, to say things that are based in common sense. The occasional, oh, I don't know, facts instead of emotion and simply repeating blurbs heard on mainstream media or a meme. Yeah, but the Constitution was written by slave owners. All right, let that go. Let that go. I'm saying let it go. I said this before. Good people can do bad things, and bad people have been known to do good things. The Constitution in this country was founded by slave owners, okay? That's not us currently. No one in the United States owns slaves. Now. And by the way, the sex slave trade, worldwide, dumb fucks. I/we can't control the past any more than I can control, nor will ever apologize for, my skin color, my height, or who my parents are. What, we're mad because the people of the world hundreds and or thousands of years ago weren't woke? We're mad because we can't change that? We take a statue down and no, it never happened. We can't celebrate them. Who's celebrating? Funny how until last year, that fervor really didn't exist, at least not on the level now. Until social media told you to be outraged. None of my woke friends ever mentioned any problems with our forefathers. And amateurs who bring up the, this country was founded on slavery, argument act like they're telling the world something we didn't know. You don't like it? A lot of other countries. Because all the other countries, those were founded by Mother Teresa and, Jesus, Gandhi. They were founded by people who only just gave money freely and gave everyone foot rubs. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Louis C.K. talked about Great Wall of China, built by slave labor. The pyramids, slave labor. The railroads in the United States, Chinese slaves, Irish, the Italians. The Italians and the Irish practically built New York. It wasn't slave labor, but damn near close. They worked these people to death. My grandfather was a coal miner. He was in World War I at age 15. He was a coal miner. I'm not exaggerating here. I was talking to my mom. He got on a bus, and then he went to the train station or whatever it was for 2 hours to drive to go from Pittsburgh to West Virginia to shovel coal, starting at like 4 o'clock in the morning. Getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, getting there at 6 a.m., shoveling coal on his stomach because he was tall and lean and he could squeeze in those small areas, got paid by the ton. Not by the hour, skip lunch so he can shovel an extra ton of coal. Died of black lung disease, hardening of the arteries behind the eyes. Got home at 10 p.m. My mom said he would literally come inside and collapse on the floor. My grandmother would there have his dinner ready. Then he would go in the bathtub and smoke a cigarette of all things. But just go in the bathtub and relax. And of course, the water would just be black from coal dust and do that every day, 5 days a week for 40 years. Now, I'm not telling you this as a story. It's like, I had to walk to the bus stop uphill in the snow both ways. It's not that story. But you can't tell me that back then, when he was a coal miner, those conditions he worked in would be legal now. But he did it willingly. didn't have much of an education, came from poverty, born in 1899, had some cooking skills from the army, provided for his family, never owned a home, gave as much money as he could to his extended family. This country was founded on slavery. I don't like how this country happened. All right, so let's narrow this field. What if you turned out to be a good person, but it turns out your parents are complete assholes? I don't know. Let's go to the extreme. They were murderers. Mom and dad were a tag team of serial killers, but somehow you turned out okay. You can't change where you came from. All you can do is say, hey, I turned out all right. I'm doing good for myself now, despite the fact that my parents were serial killers. A lot of good stuff happened, by the way, that this country was founded on. Everyone keeps talking about how slavery was like the only industry America had. Come on. Not us fighting the tyranny of the British. That was kind of keeping us busy to start America. And since then, oh, I don't know, fighting the injustices within our country. Slavery being one of them in the Civil War. Not to mention little things like World War I and II, which, without the United States, amateurs, you don't exist. There is no United States. Period. We're 2-0 in world wars. You're welcome, amateurs. I can't enjoy America now, despite America being the land of opportunity and freedom because of something beyond my control in the past. Good luck with that. If you could really say, amateurs, that the election was legit, with 13 people showing up to a Biden rally and a small city showing up to countless Trump rallies, while nothing is said on mainstream media about Hunter Biden's laptop that directly shows evidence and dealings with communist China and the Ukraine and kickbacks and crack and underage sex with girls, and an AT&T building that was targeted on Christmas because it had records of voter and election fraud, while news outlets gave the election when only a handful of the votes were in, while the seated president was targeted for impeachment for a second time to no avail, and you can digest all of that and still think that the virus, the shutdowns, the riots, the schools being closed, mask mandates, statues falling. If you think that now that the bad man is out of office and the half-dead, child-sniffing, bumbling, stammering idiot who has a vice president known for giving out blowjobs like candy, who called the current president a racist, who, by the way, continues to make ignorant and racist comments and then supported him and is a known Marxist, is a good idea, and now the country is going to do better and is doing better since he took office, and you can still think that that's common sense, you're an amateur. I'm still waiting for the posts that from amateurs that mention how great of a job the not real president is doing from the amateurs who, quote, voted him in. Only an amateur nation is American patriotism shamed, hidden, canceled, prosecuted. That's communism, folks. Keep poking the bear, amateurs. Fuck around and find out. The race for worst governor and mayor was on in 2020 and continues. Emperor Gavin Newsom was in the lead, but now that Cuomo looks like he was responsible for more than five times the New Yorker deaths than 9/11, it's anyone's race. And since this show's hiatus began, a staged storming of the White House backfired on the amateurs that caused it, but managed to control the media as they always do and blame the pros. While that fence sits around the White House as if everyone is going to storm the castle. What does that tell you? Why would you need to have a fence and security around the White House? That's telling you that the people of the country that you're supposedly serving don't like you. This stage storming of the White House backfired on the amateurs that caused it, but managed to control the media, as they always do, and blame the pros. The pros, who have had no history of committing acts of violence during protests or gatherings in that manner the entire election process and the campaigning time. In that manner or scale during the campaign year. I guess Portland, Seattle, Minnesota, Chicago, LA, and basically day-to-day life in Baltimore, Detroit, Atlanta, yeah, those never happened. By the way, now that President Amateur is in office, I am loving this new utopian society that those cities are experiencing. Look at all that change. The calm, the clean, and the jobs, and the drugs are gone, and the kids are educated. If I may quote a former friend who noted Minnesota and Chicago on day one of violence preemptively, Lou, it's about change. As long as you don't hurt me or my kid, right? Funny how the people who don't have a problem with the shutdowns can work from home and get to spend more time with my kids. Yeah, your kids are going to grow up to be beyond stupid. They are. They're not in school. You've been now conditioned to accept that kids just don't go to school now. At least not regularly. And that kids only need a teacher barking their dogma at them while they look at a book. Not trade skills, social skills, athletics, clubs, and yes, even the daily trials and tribulations that kids should and need to face. Bullies, being made fun of, asking a girl out, asking a boy out, sexual pressure, resisting drugs and alcohol, you know, life lessons. AOC caught the same virus that Bubba Wallace and Jussie Smollett had, fake-itis combined with attention whore-itis, which are merely part of a bigger disease, amateur-itis. If you give any credence to what this frog-eyed, horse-tooth, baby-voiced bartending amateur has to say, you get what you get. You are ridiculous. If she's your role model, simply because she's a woman, I love how people are like role models now just because they're a minority. Trans, black, short, tall, big-busted, fat, Latin, Asian, pick one. I don't even care they're qualified. Look, somehow they faked their way in that position. Role model. If she's your role model, you got about 10 years to live. In other news, Nancy Pelosi got caught getting her hair did, and as a result, the salon owner lost her business. Seems fair. So did Beetlejuice in Chicago. And by the way, that's the hairstyle she wanted. She went into the hair salon and said, you know what, give me the Farina from Little Rascals. The list of hypocritical politicians, Rhode Island governor, got busted breaking curfew and being maskless is long. Didn't matter. Amateurs have selective blindness and deafness. Somehow they thought that was okay. Somehow they didn't think that was hypocritical or lacked science or made them think, why am I wearing this? Nope. As long as you, in the store that are near them, wear a mask so they can wield that imagined temporary power in their nothing lives. But wait, there's more. If you follow up amen with a woman, you're a moron. Yep, that was a thing. Said in Congress, by a grown-up. My bad, look at all the positive change that came from it. Keep putting a Band-Aid on that cannonball wound, amateurs. Wait, what am I saying? At least we got, what, $1,800, give or take, over the last year? By the way, every penny of that relief package should have gone to American-owned businesses. Period. All right, and gender studies in Pakistan. That's just good common sense. It's here where I say what I've been saying to many of my pro friends. I want Amateur Nation to keep fucking up. I want them to continue to be ridiculous with their virtue signaling and censoring and cancel culture ways. I want them offended by air. You're an oxygenist! Because then comes the pushback. Oh, sure, there already has been on some levels. This podcast, for instance, you know, protesting in real life and on social media. Common sense media, politicians who have common sense, brave celebrities who have been canceled and are fighting back. And boy, nothing has opened my eyes as to who the bad people are in Hollywood. Actors, directors, producers, production houses, casting directors, and movie studios. Like 2020, up to now, has. Amateurs, your behavior during 2020 up to now has been embarrassing at best and shameful and pitiful at worst. Your politics, social views, religious views, general ways you live your lives are laughable. You're embarrassing yourselves. We pros are indeed laughing at you. We get together and we talk about how ridiculous you are. You guys get together and just scream and shout and think you're right and high-five each other. And your power is imagined, surface, and temporary. You scream over the top of people. Yes, you scream tolerance and give none. Many of you are indeed deranged, mentally ill, lost, lazy, and above all, weak-willed, easily satisfied, possess low standards, and have the five factors of an amateur. Stupid plus obnoxious times rude divided by entitled plus inconsiderate. Convince us pros that you haven't been all five since March of, what, 2005? You threw your little childish temper tantrums about critical things like Aunt Jemima labels to the cost of trillions of dollars and lost lives, all needlessly, lost American businesses, lost American historical artifacts, which changes nothing about real history, lost love, lost friendships, and worst of all, lost time and momentum. Just because you've been emotional about something doesn't always mean you've been right. Level-headed arguments and choices are paramount. You got what you wanted. For now, enjoy it while it lasts, because it won't. Oh yeah, remember George Floyd? Topic number two. Overmanners. Overmanners. It's a thing. I came up with that word on my own. I call it a subset of virtue signaling. Examples? Certainly, I got them. Can men, all right, and women, just shake hands? Enough with the bro hugs, the bring it in, the gripping of the thumbs like Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers at the beginning of the movie Predator, and you bump shoulders together while you pat the guy. I just met you. I'd like to not have our cheeks be close. It has nothing to do with germs. It's simply inappropriate. Even if I know you well, if I see you regularly, a handshake will get it done. I never realized how much I appreciate handshakes until some pros I recently met shook my hand instead of bumping elbows, or worse, the air handshaking. Just stop. Don't do anything. Look, if I'm physically close enough to you that you feel you're going to catch the coronavirus, which apparently is an automatic death sentence, then one, stay home, or two, don't put your hands in your mouth after I shake your hand. If you're close enough to shake my hand, mask on or off, just shake it like an adult. I use hand sanitizer long before all this germophobia happened. I was watching a home improvement show and the clients were meeting the home remodelers for the first time. The first time. The clients meeting the people who were going to remodel their homes. First time meeting. And the husband and wife each hugged and or bro hugged the husband and wife team doing the remodel. No, no, no. Stop that. Can everyone stop saying that they appreciate me? Just say thank you. I didn't save you from being hit by an out-of-control car. These are the same amateurs who will rail you for not wearing a useless mask, but then be overly dramatic with the thank yous and I appreciate you, man. Enough. Steve Martin, thy god of entertainment for me, once said something along the lines that he doesn't sign autographs, not because he doesn't like his fans or that he's not appreciative, but he says because it's not about me, Steve, it's about them. So Steve Martin actually gives them a card that reads, "You have just met Steve Martin and you have found him fascinating," which, by definition, is collectible in and of itself. I would kill to have one of those cards. But I digress. This whole "I appreciate you" really says, look at me going above and beyond the typical thank you. Sure, you could nitpick and say, Jesus, Lou, this is what you're complaining about, being thanked? Yes, because it's part of a bigger problem. And relax, if you're new to the show, I always end with three pro things. Because, as I said, I'm not being thanked, I'm being showboated. How about, I appreciate that. Hey, I appreciate, I went to the DMV today, which, by definition, if I was an alcoholic in the program and I'd been sober for 20 years, one trip to the DMV would have me right off the wagon again. Whatever the bad one is. It's horrible. Even when it's good, it's horrible. It's just a horrible place, right? But this lady, this is my fifth trip, trying to get my Ohio license converted, my license plates, and the one location wasn't giving me all my information. This lady was so nice and accommodating, and it took a while, but man, she just had a way about her, so I said, hey, I appreciate your help. But I didn't look her in the eye. I appreciate you. And then I brought her in for a bro hug or an elbow bump. No, I just said, hey, I appreciate your help. I appreciate that. I appreciate your help. Or, I don't know, thank you. Have a good day. I admit, I didn't used to say have a good day that much. I always felt it was kind of corny. I'm like, who says that? But especially during the pandemic and people were hidden behind masks and everything else, I feel like I'm trying to go out of my way, not to virtue signal, but just to let people know that, you know, I'm joking and there's a sly smile behind this mask that I'm forced to wear. But to a guy who's helping me at a hardware store, he gets a, when I leave, take it easy. And a woman gets a, have a nice day. I'm sure that's sexist or racist or mannerist somehow. That's the other thing masks have destroyed: nonverbal communication. Reading a smile, or knowing someone is kidding, or simply being able to understand someone. So what? Like, I'm at the DMV today, right? You're 6 feet away, you're behind plexiglass, you got 1 to 3 masks on, I'm supposed to be able to hear you? Oh, okay, you're pulling your mask down to clarify what you said? Great, now I'm dead. And while this last part has less to do with manners, but plenty to do with overkill and virtue signaling, adults who celebrate their birthday week, or in some cases, month. You weren't born over the course of a week or a month or even a year. You were born on one day in one exact moment, in fact. How much attention do you need, amateurs? Oh, that's right. Amateurs need a lot of attention. All of it. Topic number 3. During the show's hiatus, I was staying with my mom, waiting for my furniture to arrive in various pieces by the amateurs who loaded it into the truck with, apparently, a trebuchet. And during the downtime, combined with Thanksgiving and Christmas, I admittedly watched a lot of TV. It was cold outside, it was the holidays, it's time to take it easy. Where else can you go? Everything was shut down. I'm a huge fan of this TV show Archer. I think it's one of the smartest shows on TV. Not just animated shows, but any of the shows. And it has real art, real style, a unique style to it, not just artistically and visually, but the writing, with exceptional timing and the voice acting done by the entire cast. Archer is on the network FXX. I watch a ton of episodes on demand. Now, sadly, when you watch shows on demand on what my mom has, DirecTV, there is no fast-forwarding. I think that's the case for most on-demand stuff. I could be wrong about that, but, you know, I'm sure, because if I might be wrong, I'm sure that's hate speech somehow. So I was captive to all the commercials. Archer airs late at night because it can be pretty bawdy. It's got an adult rating. There's sex scenes, bloody violence, foul language. Great for adults, not so much for kids. Okay, so it's late at night. However, having been captive to the commercials, since you can't fast forward, this is the running theme on every commercial for every episode. Here are the themes: weakness, illness, suicide, bad mental health, prescription drugs, PSAs reminding you to be tolerant, be accepting. Of course, those are good things, but ask yourself, and I say this in bold, when did the media decide we needed to be reminded to be good? Or to that order, when did mainstream media decide that it was their job to tell us to be good? What is their end game? It makes them look good. Their station, their network, their advertisers. While enforcing the ideals that you need to be reminded that you're inherently bad and intolerant, so step up your game. All of my friends who, some agree with me politically and socially and others who don't, if they've always treated me well and with common sense, good manners, and social skills, why would I need to remind them to be nice to me? And if they weren't, they wouldn't be my friends, right? Substitute yourself into that equation. As I've said before, someone who's a hardcore racist, sexist, misogynist, etc., will never change their mindset due to a billboard or TV or radio PSA. In fact, someone that close-minded will just get more hard-headed. If you're full of hate and misogyny and sexism and racism, you think a billboard's going to flip you? We have all seen movies and read books and heard true stories of the hardened criminal who lived a gang life and then something major, profound, life-changing happened. And his or her eyes were open, telling people, stop being racist, be good, is a waste of time and is insulting to us pros who have to endure it. I will give you 3 examples of commercials that I watched that stand out. Number 1, the theme, Embrace the Awkward. I think it's called Embrace the Awkward. It's a PSA that tells you to basically, hey, if you have a friend who seems out of sorts, who's been kind of distant, just ask him or her, are you okay? And this commercial gives you several ways to say it, using a late teen slash early 20s actor Notice the target demographic, by the way. I wonder why that age group is so depressed. They've been living life on social media for a decade. They've been shut in for a year with no school, no peers, no social interaction on a regular basis besides Zoom and FaceTime. They're stuck inside, having everything delivered to them. They're doing drugs and drinking and taking prescription drugs and surfing the net for more of the same quick fix type life solutions. Sure. People from childhood to seniors get depressed, but the ads are targeting teens to mid-20s. And while sad and surely an epidemic, which will definitely get worse as we've seen with suicides going up during the shutdowns, it's not hard to see the why. Another ad has a jingle. I'm going to sing it poorly here. Whatever, whatever, whatever gets you talking. That's the jingle, right? It's whatever gets you talking about your depression. They're saying, hey, whatever it takes, you need to talk about it. A good thing. And of course, a young black rapper, so it has street cred, raps various ways you can reach out to this depressed person in your life. Here are some of the ways you can do that. A poem. All right, look. I love you, man, but if you reach out to me via poem, I'll admit I'm no longer depressed because I'm laughing at you and your fucking poem. You can go away now. A note. So I'm here. You're going to hand me a note. Hey, man, you okay? You're right fucking here. You hand me a note. A text. Yeah, nothing says I care like a text. Y'all good? A rap. So now I got to compose a fucking rap song? I don't want homework because you're depressed. Look. I kid, kinda, and I get it. Something has to be done. They're trying to reach this poor, lost, spoon-fed, weak-willed, propaganda-absorbed, shame-filled generation because they're, pick one, white, male, tall, thin, fat, ugly, pretty, zit-filled, female, busty, flat-chested, American, black, poor, Hispanic, rich. They've created this miserable generation that you have to hate yourself for some reason, and now they expect that generation to fix itself and reach out to each other, the self-absorbed generation that lives on their phones and social media. They won't, because they're too busy caring about nameless, faceless people who don't agree with them across the country that they'll never meet about things that will never affect them, like Aunt Jemima. Quick question. Where's the PSA that says, hey, if you're depressed, reach out to a parent or adult authority figure you trust? If you're a parent or an adult authority figure to a young person who you see as distant and withdrawing from society, be a better parent and or call this number or just do this. Number two, this is the second commercial that I saw, okay? Here's another weakness-themed ad during these on-demand commercial blocks. All of these I'm mentioning, by the way, run consecutively in each commercial break, night after night. So if you're binge-watching Archer like I did, you're getting these just pounded into your brain late at night before you go to bed. The next one is an ad for the prescription drug Humira. By the way, I know everyone fast-forwards through the commercials, but still, do you see how many prescription ads there are on TV and on YouTube now? It's got to be 25 to 50% of each ad block. All right, so this ad features the millennials, of course, in a band. You got your black guy, your hippie white guy, and your Asian guy, and the female emo lead singer. She has Crohn's disease, so they're worried about her at a practice while they're rehearsing after she stops mid-song to excuse herself. In typical emo millennial fashion, rather than go to her and check on her, these morons just stare at each other mumbling, "Hey, is she okay?" She's your lead singer. She just left mid-lyric during rehearsal. Maybe go check on her. Cut to... she's taking the medicine, and they're doing a concert. This time, though, the whole band is on stage outdoors in front of a crowd of sheep while the band is waiting for her to come out of the bathroom. Really? You go on stage without your lead singer and just kind of wait around? This is your showmanship? How rock and roll? You didn't come on at the same time like, I don't know, a band? And of course, they're a safe rock band. They're not too punk. They're not too metal. There's no tattoos, no piercings, just nice and racially diverse. But plenty of weakness. That should be the name of a band that comes out since 2020. The Weakness. And number three, look, I know people have real illnesses and diseases and conditions, okay? I got my own health issues. I have a dear friend with Crohn's disease. I know she would laugh her ass off at that commercial and my previous comments because she's a strong-willed adult with a brain and she can think on her own. Anyway, I saved the best PSA for last. This is the third one that I saw watching Archer. It's this whole series of ads with the website called lovehasnolabels.com. It's infuriating. Did you know there are gay people? Did you know there are interracial couples? Did you know there are people with Down syndrome? And get this, they love each other! I know you're so stupid, but I assure you it's real. I know it's not a big deal. You know it's not a big deal, but apparently we're supposed to believe that it is. And that it's a miracle, and we have to get to go to an entire website to learn that love has no bias. Oh my God, you guys. Because we didn't know that. Because we're idiots, and we have to celebrate our differences, but don't forget we're all the same. Here are the three examples during this love has no bias bullshit that stand out. Here's how it's shot, by the way. I'm going to try to describe this as best as I can. Close your eyes and visualize. We see a group of about 50 people gathering in a square of a city courtyard. All of them hipsters. Every one of them. They all got the douchey hairs and the beards. They all think they're lumberjacks and, right? Make no mistake about that casting. In the square, there's a digital screen about, oh, I don't know, 10 feet high, 20 feet long, on a stage. And behind the screen, we see skeletons moving around as if they were behind an X-ray machine. Dancing, kissing, hugging, whatever. Just the skeletons. It's real skeletons of real people behind the screen. We don't know that yet, right? Then, wait for it. The two skeletons come out from behind the screen to reveal the skeletons that were kissing were a short black woman and a tall Asian man. And the crowd cheers with a slight mix of surprise. Love has no bias, thank God. The second ad has the same dancing skeleton morons. They're kissing, hugging, porking, whatever. And in the reveal, we see that it's two women! Women! In love! Kissing! Love has no bias! The third one is two little skeletons playing and dancing, only to find that one of the skeletons belongs to a child with Down syndrome. And somehow, her sister or female friend, whoever the hell she is, loves her anyway! Because love has no bias. I'm so glad I saw those because I thought love did have biases. Time now for some quickies. I don't know anyone who loves toffee. I'm not judging if you do, but I don't know anyone personally. I know a lot of people. I don't know one person that even like, no one ever says, hey, you got any toffee lying around? Fuck it. You come to my house and say, I say, you want something to eat? Want a snack? You got any toffee? Get out of my house. Someone must like toffee. They keep making it. Funny how millennials and the younger generation are supposed to be the most rebellious, yet when it comes to masks, most can't wait to conform, despite the fact that they are the least susceptible to COVID. Portland has banned urinals because women can't use them. So I guess that means no more tampons or bras because men can't use those. I guess they actually could, but just not in the same way. Dear Lovesack Furniture Company, just call it balls and get it over with. Fail. I was in line at the grocery store and the magazine rack was In Touch Magazine. The idea that that magazine is still a thing amazes me. On the cover, Tom Brady and his wife Giselle with the headline, How We Saved Our Marriage. Yeah, step one, one of you win a 7th Super Bowl. Number two, one of you be a supermodel. I'm sure those two things combined should help. In Touch Magazine, folks. This just in, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives to be renamed Restaurants That Are Gone Now. Time now for three pro things. Three things that are done right. Number one. The book Rust in Peace. While the lead singer of Megadeth, my favorite band, Dave Mustaine's autobiography, is one of my favorite books, the book Rust in Peace, the inside story of the Megadeth masterpiece with a foreword written by Slash, who, as you may or may not know, dumb statement, either you know something or you don't. Slash was actually invited to join Megadeth. Didn't really entertain the idea, but you gotta wonder how that would have turned out and changed the rock landscape. Anyway, It's a little bit of rehash of the drug abuse that interfered with the making of one of the, if not the greatest thrash metal album of all time. But it still puts you there with accounts from all band members at various stages of development. You gotta wonder how something that epic got done so well, considering the strife, the drugs, the fighting, the infighting, the management issues. But it did, and this book lays it out. Number two. Number two is another book choice brought to my attention by Alert Pro and fan of this show, going all the way back to my radio days, Stephen Landis. And the book is called The Decade That Rocked. This is the quintessential coffee table book about all things metal of all types from 1980 to 1990. At 377 pages in a book that only comes in hardback, and it's kind of expensive, and is literally heavy, there's irony, this book highlights not only the exceptional and timeless photography of Mark Weisguy Weiss, and a foreword written by Rob Halford of Judas Priest and metal musicologist Eddie Trunk, it also tells you the story of how the author got to be the photographer for all things metal and how he became the go-to man when it came to band members getting their likenesses captured candidly and posed. I read this book in 2 days, and it's a book you won't want to lend out, and it's a book you'll want to revisit. You'll want it displayed if you're a metal fan, not to mention how many times you'll read it and see the photos and talk to yourself out loud if you were of the prime age during that era. For me, the story of how Sebastian Bach of Skid Row got his job as lead singer for the band is a no way moment. Once again, it's called The Decade That Rocked. Check it out. Number three. Uncle Tom. It's a movie produced by Larry Elder. This is must viewing for all races, for pros and especially amateurs. If you like common sense and facts, this is the documentary for you. If you like just screaming at things and living your life by pure emotion, avoid it. And also run into a knife. If you want to stay in denial and just live your life with baseless emotion and scream that everything is racist because it is, then avoid it. But you should watch Uncle Tom. You should watch it. They should be showing this in schools. You can check out the trailer on YouTube and watch the whole movie on iTunes, Amazon, YouTube, Vudu, Microsoft, and UncleTom.com. Here is a quick synopsis of the movie. In a collection of intimate interviews with some of America's most provocative black conservative thinkers, Uncle Tom takes a different look at being black in America, featuring media personalities, ministers, civil rights activists, veterans, and a self-employed plumber. The film explores their personal journeys of navigating the world as one of America's most misunderstood political and cultural groups, the American Black Conservative. Uncle Tom examines self-empowerment, individualism, and rejecting the victim narrative. I know, sounds horrible, doesn't it, amateur? All right, look, I know I usually like to keep these episodes around the 30 to 35 minute mark, but the show's been on hiatus for 5 months, and we covered a lot today, but a lot has happened since the show was gone, and I still think we didn't even scratch the surface. So, if you have a topic, or if you read or saw something, or something happened to you that was amateur-related, or if you have a comment, criticism, or you want to support the show with your stimulus check, email me, lou@lousantini.com. Please download my book from Amazon, Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. I think it'll do you right. You can subscribe to my YouTube page and hear the show on 14 podcast platforms. Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. And before I go, a special shout out to Rachel Sibical, Bailey Adair Cosden, and Abby and Thomas all the way out there in Florida listening to the show. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.
Bye, Lou. Gonna miss you.